This morning we come to the word calling. It's a wonderful word. It's a word that reminds us that God loves us. It's a word that reminds us of how much we need God to call us. So as we take the words of the gospel and look into them, my prayer for us this morning is that we would walk away with hope in God. God calls sinners to repentance. So let's look at the top of your sheet. Got a little paragraph there that's going to walk us through. Have you ever seen a magic trick from someone and just said, "How did you do that?" Somebody does a little coin trick or a little card trick, and you stop them and say, okay, seriously, how do you do that? And if they're a good magician, the magician's mantra, never reveal your secrets, right? We've all seen an illusion or sleight of hand trick by a magician that caused us to say something to the effect of, wait, do that again. When we are awed by something, we want to stop and replay it and understand it from every angle. It's the reason certain sports highlights go viral. It's also the reason that men ask their wives to be quiet for the fastest 3 minutes on Monday nights. We love to examine the amazing, don't we? Here's the beauty of the gospel. An amazing thing happens in the heart that responds to Jesus, but it isn't sleight of hand, it isn't an illusion, it isn't a trick. It is miraculous. So in our awe and amazement and worship, the gospel defined shows us how that happens to those that thoroughly do not deserve it. God calls sinners to be saved. So this morning, we're going to turn our attention to the beauty of the gospel. And, you know, our eyes, when we see something physical that looks magical, we stop and we say, wow, that's amazing. We want them to zoom in, slow it down. Let me look at how they caught that pass, or let me look at how they switched that card, or let me look at how they just disappeared in front of my eyes. But you know what the amazing thing is? There's something actually way more miraculous that happens when a sinner turns from darkness to light. And it happens through a process called salvation. And one of those aspects is calling. So let's zoom in real close and let's see what happens when God calls sinners to repentance. So the first thing on your sheet is the fact that God calls all to repent. God calls all to repent. You see, when the gospel is proclaimed, something happens. God miraculously rescues sinners from their sin and death, and that is calling. In Romans 10, you got it in your Bibles right in front of you. Verse 17 says that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So when the gospel is proclaimed, something miraculous happens. What happens? God calls sinners. He rescues them from their sin and death. That is calling. So your first blank on your sheet there is that calling is God's commanded invitation to repent and believe the gospel. Look at each of those words with me. It's God's commanded invitation to repent and believe the gospel. It's heard, it's read, it's seen, but it is God's commanded invitation to all to repent and believe the gospel. There's a couple of verses that will help us in this. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, God commands, he commands all people to repent. Notice that. Okay, all those words are important. This is from God. This is God's call to the sinner. This is God's work. God calls sinners to repentance. But it's also a command. Did you see that in the verse? God's commanded invitation. And I love that word invitation. Because it is a command, yes. We must respond to the gospel. But it's an invitation to leave our life of dissatisfaction, to leave our life of darkness, to leave our life of bondage, and come to the one who can remove all of that, make us alive, give us light, break the chains of our bondage, and give us peace with him. It's an invitation. You know, when I think about that, that verse all of a sudden starts to become amazing. The word of Christ, faith comes from hearing it and hearing by the word of Christ. This is mercy. This is mercy. It's God's merciful kindness to us that he would do this. Remember who we are. I mean, here in the darkness and the slough of sin, heaven breaks open. And I love the picture behind me. Heaven breaks open and reaches down and calls someone to a different kind of life. God's commanded invitation to repent and believe. It's from God, it's a command, and it's an invitation to respond. And the beauty of calling is that instead of God speaking an instant word of condemnation to the sinner, instead of God instantly condemning the sinner who's done wrong, you've broken my law, that's it, you are condemned right now, you will have no more chances, God instead patiently offers the call. It is one call with two sides, though. So your next blank is, calling is two-sided. Two-sided. So there's an external side and an internal side. There's something that happens outside that we can see and hear, and there's also something that happens in the heart. So one call, two sides. Those two sides, they're called different things. Theologians call them maybe the general, the external, and the effectual or effective, that's internal. The general call is the gospel call. We're going to look at it in a second. The internal call is the call that awakens a dead sinner, and we're going to talk about that in a second as well. So let's look at both of these. The outside call is a megaphone. You can think of it that way. It's a great picture. It's a megaphone that can be heard. It's one of those things that, you know, you're walking through your day and there's a noise about you. There's something that catches your attention. It can be ignored, but it's still heard. Everyone should hear the external call of the gospel. Everyone should hear it. This one affects, it comes into our ears, so it affects our minds, it affects our emotions, right? This one we see, we read it, and so it comes into our brain, and all of a sudden we see facts, and we say, okay, this is the gospel call, but there's another side. You see, a megaphone can be ignored, but there's something else. It's the internal call, and that's the summons. That's the summons that says, now you must do this. That's the call on the human heart. It cannot be ignored. So you have one call, two sides, internal, external. The two different words, general and effectual. Okay, so we're starting to catch this. We got to understand what both of those sides are. So your blanks on your sheet there, general calling is to everyone who can hear the gospel. Everyone who can hear the gospel. Here's a few verses that will help us. A couple of them we already read. God commands all people. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Jesus says. Jesus says, many are called. Many are called. There's the general call. Enter by the narrow gate. So come, enter this way, God says to the people on the broad way. And then I love this because it begins to show us God's love and his heart towards sinners. The Lord is patient towards you so that he can call you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the general call reminds me of? It is God's patient, loving heart to the sinner. He gives them an opportunity to hear the gospel, though they do not deserve it. So we have the megaphone, but we also have the summons. We have the subpoena that gets delivered to your heart. And that subpoena is to those who respond to the gospel. It's the court order. It's the other side. This is a side that we can't see with our eyes. We can't touch it. The only reason we know it's there is because really God reveals it to us in his word. God begins to explain it and lay it out when he describes what happens in the human heart. So this is that part of the miraculous where we say, I would not know this is happening unless God told me it was happening in his word. Those whom he called, and look what happens to these ones. The ones that he calls, he also justifies. Those whom he justifies, he glorifies. God is faithful, and look at this one. By whom you are called, what are you called? You're actually called into fellowship of his son. Here's the other half to a verse we just looked at. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling? He called us to something. There's an aspect to effectual calling that shows that the called are saved. It's not the general call, right? Because the general call, not everyone responds to. Everyone can hear it, but not everyone responds to it. There's a call that says this person will be saved. It's the summons that will not be ignored. There's an active purpose to it. So let's look at these two calls. So what is that general call? What is that general call that goes out that can be heard, that everyone should hear? It's really the facts of the gospel. It's really the truths about God and what he wants to do for man. It's the truths about who God is and who we are and how we must respond to that. So inherent in this general call that goes out to all, that all can hear, is really the facts of the gospel, the invitation of the gospel, and what happens in those who respond to it, the promises of the gospel. I mean, we've been going over these. So remember what we talk about each week about how gospel defined builds on itself? So the more you understand a little bit of the gospel, the more it helps you to understand the other parts. So as we've been walking through, some of this is going to be like, didn't you say that last week? I just want to make sure it's all there so we can understand it. The first truth we have to understand is that God is completely holy. When we understand the holiness of God and who we are, there's an amazing gap. It's infinite. You see, God is the perfect creator who demands perfection from his creation. He's the creator, we are the creation, right? He's the infinite, we are the finite. He's the lawgiver, we are to be the law keepers. He is the image, we are the reflectors of that image. He's the holy one. We are the ones who are to be holy as he is holy, God's creator. But we know something from Scripture. Scripture describes a bleak scene for the creation, and that is that man is thoroughly sinful. Totally sinful. And I put up there, the world has been marred because of sin. I mean, you look at what happens to the picture. It goes black and white. It gets blurry. We are broken people. It doesn't mean that we have done every sin, okay? So that doesn't mean that I say that you're thoroughly sinful. It doesn't mean that you have done every single sin that Scripture describes, okay? Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you will someday do every sin that the Bible describes. All it simply means is that there's nothing in us that can merit any goodness with God. Everything we do is stained with sin. The Bible describes it this way: there is none righteous, no, not one. All, even the righteous things that we try and do, are filthy rags. It's a bleak picture. And because of that, we deserve death. In fact, that thorough sinfulness on our part demands death from that completely holy, perfect creator. So, the next part of the gospel is Jesus. Jesus died in your place as your Savior. He took upon him your punishment. He stood in your place. He bore the wrath of God. This is like the gospel, right? We've been talking through it the last few weeks. Here it is. Jesus bears our blame, but he doesn't stay dead, right? He dies in our place, but he doesn't stay dead. He rises again. Why does he rise again? Isaiah 53 says that the Father, God the Father, honored his righteous life and brought him back to life. Beautiful. But that can't just sit there. I mean, those are facts, right? There's another side to the gospel call, and that is the commanded invitation, and that is that we must respond to the gospel. We must respond with repentance and faith. Man must repent and believe. This is the call of the gospel. It goes out. God is holy. Man is a sinner. Jesus dies for that sin. Man must repent and believe. To repent means to turn from that sin. To believe means to put your entire trust in Jesus. We repent and believe the gospel. If we repent, the promises of the gospel come true. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, new life in Christ on this earth, eternal life realized today. It's amazing. That is the call that goes out. That's the call that I said. You can read it, right? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can read that. You can hear it. You can see it. But what happens when you respond to it is that those who respond are given new life. they come to life in Jesus. That's the gospel. And that's the call that goes out. That's the call that actually we're commanded to take. If we've responded to it, we're commanded to take that call to the world and share it with everyone we meet. That is the general call. Is everybody with me on that? The external call that goes out to the world. But then there's another aspect, another side to the call, right? That is the side, because not everyone responds to that, but the Bible describes another side of the call. And that is that God calls some who respond. So what ends up happening is, as we look into the gospel and as we look at the rest of the Bible, we begin to see some things. Because remember, man is thoroughly sinful. The Bible describes him as dead. The Bible describes him as lost in chains, in darkness, blind. So your first blank there is, because of his sinfulness, man cannot turn to Christ on his own. So remember, throughout the Bible, we're seeing the stories, explanations, definitions, illustrations of the fact that man, because of Adam and Eve's sin, and because we are descendants of that, and because we choose sin ourselves, we are thoroughly sinful, inside and out. We cannot turn to Christ. So when you look at the crowds of people around you, you have to see them, and you have to see yourself in this crowd. You have to see this bleak picture of people walking away from God, thoroughly sinful, not responding to him. You see, it's not a picture of color. It's actually a picture of darkness. Listen to some of the ways the Bible describes the state of man apart from God. He's dead in his trespasses and sins. He's lost in darkness. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seek God. No fear of God is before man's eyes. No fear of God. I mean, why do we even have to respond to this, God? By nature, children of wrath. Everyone deserves hell, and everyone is headlong running towards it. Because of our sinfulness, we're lost. Ephesians 2 says an amazing thing, though. Okay, so a lot of those phrases up there are actually taken from Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God. So this second aspect of the call says, but God. In his divine, eternal purposes, God internally, he effectually calls the elect to be saved. So let's look at what the Bible says about that. The Bible says that before the foundations of the world, God predestined those who would not just hear the gospel, but they would also respond to the gospel. So we go back to that crowd of people, the crowd of people that are running from God. They are headlong, doing their own thing, continuing in their own path. Listen to how the Bible describes it. Those whom he predestined, he also called. God, in eternity past, according to his divine eternal purposes, predestined, not just the hearers, not just everybody who would hear, but also those who would respond. So I just want to show you some verses here. God saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So these two different points on this are huge. Because of man's sinfulness, he cannot turn to Christ on his own. I mean, he's dead, right? Dead people don't move. He's blind. Blind people can't find God. He doesn't fear God. But God, in his eternal purposes, internally calls some to respond, calls the elect. So what happens? That call is powerful to counteract the effects of our sin. That call is powerful enough to counteract the effects of sin and enable a person to believe. It occurs through that proclamation of the gospel that results in faith and repentance. Now, this isn't coercion, okay? Man must be made alive. This isn't like God somehow pushing a person against their will to respond to him. Every person who comes to Christ must willingly accept him, must willingly repent of their sin, and must willingly believe the gospel. That's why I love this verse that's behind me. Okay, look at this verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He's not come into condemnation, judgment, but has passed from death to life. But then look at the next verse. An hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. You see those two things working together? Man does have to respond, but man is not going to respond unless God calls him. Man will continue in that process of running his own way. Mankind is unwilling to seek for God unless God does a work in his heart. So God, in his eternal purposes and according to his good pleasure, reaches into that crowd of people that are running headlong away from him, and he saves. And he calls them. And they are able to believe, and they're able to repent of their sin and accept him as their Savior. So we zoom in on that person. We say, you know what? Okay, just a second here. That means if I'm in Christ, that happened to me. Yeah. So here's one last picture that I want to share with you. Is that this beautiful thing that happens with that person who was lost in their darkness? They were dying, they were sinners, they were in slavery, and they were guilty. That God reaches in, calls them, and suddenly they are no longer in darkness, they're in life. They now have life, they have righteousness, freedom, and peace. That is the internal call of God on the sinner's heart. It's incredible. I'd like to read you a story to close. This is a story that Mark Webb wrote, and I think it's very helpful for us because it shows us exactly what's happening here. Someone came after teaching this thought and said to the teacher, "This is the most awful thing I've ever heard. You make it sound as if God is intentionally turning away men who would be saved." I answered her in this vein. "You misunderstand the situation. You're visualizing that God is standing at the door of heaven and men are thronging to get in the door, and God is saying to various ones, 'Yes, you may come, but not you. You can come, not you.' The situation is hardly this. Rather, God stands at the door of heaven with his arms stretched out, inviting all to come. Yet all men, without exception, are running in the opposite direction towards hell as hard as they can go. So God graciously reaches out and stops this one and that one and this one over here and that one over there and effectually draws them to himself by changing their hearts, making them willing to come. God keeps no one out of heaven who would otherwise have been there, but he keeps a multitude of sinners out of hell who otherwise would have been there. Were it not for God, heaven would be an empty place. And hell would be bursting at the seams." That kind of response, grounded as I believe that it is in scriptural truth, does put a different complexion on things, doesn't it? If you perish in hell, blame yourself, as it is entirely your fault. But if you should make it to heaven, credit God, for that is entirely his work. To him alone belong all praise, for salvation is all grace from start to finish. That picture really helped me. Because what begins to happen is we respond then. And how do we respond? It's your last three blanks. Those who understand this, that are responders to God's call, are humbled, right? I just read the story. We're humbled. The Bible says it this way: "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, for who has known the mind of the Lord?" And here's the thing about this teaching. It's one of those things that we look at Scripture and we say, you know what, that's tense. There is some tension there. I don't understand how they work together. But that's the point. You have to be okay when you look into the gospel. You have to be okay with the fact that God is God and you are not. That God requires men to respond in faith, but men will not respond in faith unless they are called. God calls sinners. We're humbled. And then I do know this. The question that erupts in my heart is, why me? We're humbled. The second thing is that we are worshiping. We are worshiping people. So here's a couple verses. When Paul explains this doctrine, he always starts it off with, blessed be God because he's chosen us. Blessed be God because he calls us. Blessed be God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He is God. We are not. Thanks be to God. We ought always give thanks for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you. But then we are to call. So God gives us this opportunity. Romans 10 says it this way. Here's how we respond to this call. The fact that God calls those who do not seek him. I have been found by those who did not seek me. I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. All day long, I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. You know where that verse comes? It comes at the end of the chapter where this is read. How are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? You see, the understanding of this is this. I don't know, and neither do you. I don't know who is being effectually called by God, and God doesn't tell you. We don't get signs that, like a light that comes up on somebody that says, this person is being effectually called. Bing, bing, bing. Go after them. Talk to them. But you know what we are told to do? We're told to talk to everybody. Because the way that God does this is we are the mouthpieces. We are that megaphone. You see, God calls men, but he calls men through you. You have an opportunity to call people with this invitation from God. So would you today say, yes, I'm humbled. I worship God because of this, but I'm going to go and call all men to repentance. Now, this is tough, okay? That's a tough one. This one was the one that I was nervous about because I wanted to communicate it clearly. And I know that there are going to be questions about it. So if you want to talk about it, talk to Lucas. Okay? He's amazing. So you can just talk to him. No, please do. Please, if you're saying, you know what, okay, that's the first time I ever heard that. Can we bounce some ideas? Can you show me those verses and let's talk through them? Yes, please. Hey, this conversation is best done across the table with a Bible open. So let's do that. Let's do that. I'd love it. Love it. Your pastor, okay, come see us. We'd love to talk through this with you. Okay. But let's pray and let's be humble, worshiping callers.